sing with me as we confess our faith in the living and true God. I ask you, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And you may be seated. And if you were to stand up in the middle of the marketplace in Mogadishu, Somalia, and you were to confess that faith, just like that in that form, you would be immediately shot by people with AK-47s. The Muslims would not put up with that. So, would you also recite that in that scenario? Good question to ask. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you come to meet with us, even more so than we come to meet with you this morning. We may have showed up out of habit's sake, though perhaps our minds or our spirits were not there, so to speak, but when you come into the house, you come fully, Lord. You come prepared. You come with your arms full of gifts, Lord, to give out to your people. You come with just the thing that we needed this morning, whether we knew it or not. You came to give us love, whether we had love in our hearts or not. You came to forgive us, Lord, as we stumble out our confessions of sin and exaggerate our righteousness and downplay our fallenness. You see it all, you know it all, and you still forgive us. Just like Jesus prayed from the cross, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. To his accusers, to his mockers, to those who are casting insults at him, to the complacent, to the confused, who are all gathered around the cross, not even understanding what was going on. Salvation was being created in the midst of the earth, just like your word went forth in the beginning and said, let there be light. And there was. All the material in the universe must obey your commands, even to the point of something coming out of nothing. Creation ex nihilo, something out of nothing. Even to the point where things that were not come into existence. That's how powerful and effective your word is, Lord. And so it's true for our salvation as well. Paul calls us we that were not, who have now been called into existence. We have been born again in the way we did not exist before our birth, but now we do exist. Amazing miracle that is, but how much more so to be born again? We did not exist spiritually. We were not alive. We understood not the things of God. We did not believe the gospel. We had no relationship with you. But now we have been called into a spiritual existence. We have been born again. We're now alive to Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord. May we grow today. May we go forward in our relationship with you. May we understand our salvation more fully this morning, Lord. May we share that salvation with others as well. May we rejoice in it and rejoice in you because of understanding what exactly we have together this morning. And may we share it with other believers in a joyful fellowship, the procession of the saints up to Zion, which in our case is heaven. We'll all meet there. We're all on the journey. And if someone falls, we can pick them up. We can help each other. We can rejoice together. We can sing together. We can pray together. We can share the word together. We can share the supper of the Lord together. We can share physical meals and help each other out financially or in any other way that might be possible. Lord, we can walk together. So help us to do that together as a church right here, right now. And we thank you that you've pledged to be with us every step of the way, both for ourselves and as we step out in ministry to others. You told us, I will be with you even to the end of the age. And we know that you fulfilled that promise, Lord Jesus, through the person and presence of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us and among us. And we thank you, Lord, for that Spirit that is here even this morning. Forgive us of our sins. May we rejoice in that salvation you've given us, Lord, and give it to others as well. We pray for those who may be financially struggling this morning. May you give them help from above, Lord. We pray for those who are physically dealing with many different issues, Lord. Help them, heal them. We pray for those with struggles of the mind or spirit this morning. May you give them encouragement, help, hope, love. Give us all what we need this morning, Lord, that we may praise you and serve you, and that we may love others and help others aright. So, Lord, give us mercy, that we may also show others mercy. And we pray together the prayer you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. This morning we're going to be looking at just a short little parable from Mark chapter 4. And I'll read it for you. Verses 26 through 29. And this is Jesus speaking, teaching his disciples. He says, And he said, The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, than the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Salvation is automatic. Salvation is automatic. I'm going to explain to you what I mean by that, and I'm going to prove it to you from the scriptures. Now, this is the lesser known parable of the sowing, right? We know the more, we might say, common or the better well-known parable of the sower, right? The different types of soils, that's kind of the focus of that parable, is the different soils. This one presumes we're working with good soil now. And it says in this scenario that the kingdom of God, the kingship of Jesus Christ, the salvation that God is bringing, is, once again, same analogy, like a seed that gets scattered on the ground. And the farmer in this case, it's very interesting because he doesn't understand science. You know, the farmer of old, anyway, was not necessarily a man of science. He simply sowed the seed, maybe utilized practices taught to him by his parents and grandparents in that part of the country where he lived, according to the local climate. And there were other things that he would do as well, perhaps, of course, water, fertilize. But it says he goes to bed, and even while the farmer is sleeping, something is happening. The seed is germinating in and of itself, in and of itself. And it says the earth produces by itself. That word by itself in the Greek is automatic. It's automatic in verse 28. Just if you just plant a seed, sometimes you can even just do nothing, and something will come up. There's sort of something innate within that seed itself that will germinate, and it will begin to grow something up, and you had nothing to do with that. You might have obviously played your part. You sowed the seed. You perhaps, again, even watered and fertilized. But really, you were not the one that put that system in place. You were not the one that made that seed to grow. The seed of salvation grows by itself. That's the point, the simple point that Jesus is trying to make here for everyone. In addition to the obvious and the what we might call the manpower aspects of farming, of seed sowing, the advance of the kingdom of God, as it were, is automatic. There's a hidden and mysterious aspect to the equation. And that's what I'm calling automatic salvation. There's an equivalent to creation. When you look at the beginning of the world and it says that God spoke things into existence. He said his word, right? The seed. He said, let there be light, and there was. Okay? He spoke things into existence that were not previously, right? And there's a parallel between creation and salvation that is not hinged on the power of man, but the power of God. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. Here's why. Because when you come to church by default, your focus is on yourself, on your life, on your problems, and on your sins. And one of the main jobs of the preacher or teacher is to lift your eyes from yourself, your problems, your sins, your righteousness, maybe even the great things going on in your life, and to put them on God. That's what Jesus is always trying to do. Not that he doesn't love people right where they are. Rather, he meets them where they are and points their eyes to God. That's the point of the parable. He wants to teach you something about how powerful God is and God's salvation through Jesus Christ. That this seed of the kingdom of God is not made to grow by you, not within you or within someone else. And there's sort of two main applications that flow out of this idea that salvation is automatic. The first is comfort for you as a believer. And the second is courage to go out and sow that seed around town yourself. Let's go back just briefly to this idea that salvation is automatic. It's something that is sort of picked up by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 as well, in what's sometimes called the golden chain of salvation. The golden chain of salvation. It's called by theologians proper and systematic theology the ordo salutis, the order of salvation. And he links all these different parts of your salvation together. And he says, you never get here without going through all of these. But if this first one has started, then you can be sure that every step of that salvation is going to be carried out. Look what he says in verse 29 of Romans chapter 8. Paul says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So this is what's called the golden chain, where Paul says, once that first step has been undertaken, was that first step undertaken by you? No. It was undertaken by God. But once that first step is undertaken, there is a chain of effect that begins that cannot be negated. That cannot be negated. And he sort of picks it up here way in the past, even before the sowing ever happened, right? Even before, you know, someone sowed the seed of the word of God, of the gospel, into your life, right? The parable sort of picks it up at the point of the sowing. You know, this what we might call the calling stage of this, right? Or the born again stage of it. There's different ways you could put it. But there's different steps in this salvation process. But once he sows the seed of salvation, it's automatic. There's something that is going to continue and grow in your life. And it's going to produce fruit. There's going to be something great that comes out of this. Now, I say all this morning. I make this simple yet powerful point in order to encourage you. First of all, as a believer, there's a great comfort that I want you to take away from this morning. There's many different ways that we get discouraged as believers. But I want to first speak to the discouraged believer. Maybe you're discouraged by a lack of sanctification in your life. Maybe you look at your life and you say, I thought I would be here by now, and I still seem to be struggling with X. I'm not happy with where I'm at in the Christian life. I still struggle with sins. I find myself losing my temper at times. There's lustful thoughts. There's appetites. There's a lack of spirituality. There's a lack of understanding of the Word of God that I thought I should have by now. There's a discouragement that comes from lack of sanctification. Take heart, because if the seed has been truly sown into you, it will produce fruit. It will grow. It will produce what we call sanctification, the process of being made more like Christ. That will happen. Sometimes it makes a lot of progress in a time, and other times there's a long time and little progress, it seems. But it's all working together because that seed is going to grow. You can have confidence in God that way this morning. Some of you are discouraged by physical circumstances, right? Physical circumstances. Something bad happened to you this last week. Something bad has been going on this last year that's very distressing to you. And your eyes are very fixed on that, to where you're kind of ignoring God and spiritual. It kind of ruins the joy of your salvation, right? There's some kind of external physical circumstances that are assaulting you these days, and you're very discouraged by that. But you need to take heart in this eternal perspective of, hey, salvation is automatic. You are on the train. God is bringing you home. He is growing something in you, which is the kingdom of God. And that's going to trump any hard physical circumstance. It's like if you had received a phone call that you had just won a new Ferrari and you had to come downtown here to pick it up. You were driving there to the city to pick it up. And on your way there, you happened to be in a fender bender. Someone hit you from behind. And it put a dent in your old 1994 Honda. Okay? Are you going to worry about that so much in that scenario when you're on your way to pick up your brand new Ferrari there? I don't think so. You're not going to worry about it as much as you might otherwise because of the circumstances. So you're saying circumstances, circumstances, circumstances. But I'm telling you, no, circumstances, circumstances, circumstances. You're just failing to put it in perspective. You're failing to come up with the understanding of the eternal things, of the big picture, of how well off you really are, of how well off you really are, you know? It's like sometimes people complain, you know, and you're about a financial situation, you know, and perhaps you know that they're very well off, and you're like, you shouldn't be complaining. Actually, you're very well off, you know. Well, that's true of you. That's true. Actually, you're very well off. You are very well off. It's like better than a trust fund, like better than an inheritance of millions that's just waiting for you. There's an inheritance that you're already slated to receive, right? It's coming. You've already received down payments on it. Like, there's already payments coming out of it being made to you, and the whole thing is just around the corner. So if you put that into perspective, all of your circumstances start to be put into just that perspective. There's also someone who is even wondering if they're saved. They have a simple understanding of the gospel. They say, I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I have put my faith in Him, but I understand so little else. And I struggle so much with sin and even doubts that I wonder even this morning if I'm saved. There's actually a great hope that we can have in understanding the simple truth that it's not about how amazing your confession is. You know, if I were to ask us all to write a systematic theology book this morning, we would all write a bunch of different things in there, and some of it would be wrong, Okay? It's not about that. It's about a simple understanding and reception of the gospel truth that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. And if you have received that, Jesus as Savior and Lord, you can rest assured that it is automatic. It is something that God is doing. Again, rehinge the perspective. If salvation is automatic, it's something that God has been doing, and he's doing, and he's going to do, then you take heart even in the fact that though you have a simple faith, though you have a struggling faith, that it is a work of God. It is a work of God. And it is absolutely true that genuine faith and repentance and good works are signs of that. It's not divorced from responsibility on our part. Notice he says, you know, it is the farmer who sows the seed, right? It is the farmer who sows the seed. And then he puts in the sickle at the end, it says. He harvests something as well. So there's some action on the part of us. It's certainly something that we are called to respond to receive, to work in the kingdom of God, right? There's much for us to do. There is an active part that absolutely you do play in the kingdom of God, in this thing we call salvation, right? But it's helpful and comforting to know that it was started by God and it's finished by God, and it's God working in us and through us throughout the whole process. So sometime if you're doubting your salvation or you're very, very discouraged, think to yourself this: if God foreknew me, he knew and loved who I was, he chose me for salvation before the foundation of the earth, and he sent Jesus to die for me 2,000 years ago, and Christ shed his blood again with my name in his heart and on his mind, is it possible that I could screw this thing up so bad that it negates all of that? It's actually not possible. There's a golden chain. There is a automatic nature of itself to salvation that even you with doctrinal errors that you might make, mistaken beliefs, truly genuinely serious sins cannot mess up. God is at work. So I want you to be comforted and encouraged this morning as a believer because of that. But here's the second application, right? And this pertains to the sickle a little bit as well. There's a great comfort and a great challenge. Now the great challenge. The great challenge is to take heart in sowing this kingdom of God out there. I want you to sow the kingdom of God this week. I want you to sow it to others. Remember, go back to the other parable of the sower, right? He's like, they had one of the most common methods they used was simple hand seeding, right? And hand seeding is not as simple as you might think. There's actually a particular angle and a particular strength at which the farmer throws the seed into the ground, so just so that it just lodges beneath the dirt, and then it can begin to grow well in that scenario. Today, there's different types of sowing mechanisms that are used. I had something called a broadcast spreader, which just spreads seed out everywhere like this, probably similar to hand sowing in a lot of ways, the most kind of random, probably some would say the least effective method of sowing seed on your field. Then you might have other seeders that, you know, put it a little bit under the ground or run it over a little bit so there's a little bit of dirt over the seed, or even ones that plant it very deeply in, more effective. And of course, the most effective is, I mean, growing a little plant separately, and they take that little plant and actually plant that little plant in the ground itself like that. Very high quality, very effective way to plant, right? There's an analogy there. There's different ways to sow the kingdom of God, to sow the seed of the word of God. And that is a responsibility that you have. Notice he doesn't say the sower is God. He doesn't say that. Doesn't say that in the parable of sower. Doesn't sow it. Doesn't say it here. I think you're the sower, actually. The seed is the word of God, and it's the effectiveness that God gives to the seed But it's we that are sowing. Now Jesus also sowed because he did ministry. God himself also does sow. And he works with us and through us. Right? But here's the encouragement and the thing that I want you to take heart with and be challenged to do. Because salvation is not up to you as the evangelist, because salvation is not up to that person in the sense of they're the one controlling the whole process, because it is something that is automatic, you know, you can take heart to just share the word with somebody this week. Because you know what? If God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. If that person, you know, has been chosen by God, they're going to respond at some point. Now that point is up to God. But it's up to that word to take effect. You know what I mean? Like, for example, if you plant your little tomato plants, right? You have those little planting bits of soil. And you take the little couple of seeds and you put them in each one like this, right? On a whole row of them, maybe a whole tray like this, right? And then you water all of them a little bit. Like, what do you notice? Like, some come up. Some are great. Some are kind of, and some don't even come up at all, right? Was that up to you? No, it wasn't. It's automatic in the seed. Some work, some don't. And that's how it is with God. Like, you're going to share with one friend and another friend and then another neighbor. One is going to respond and become a Christian. One is going to seem to respond, but then it kind of falls off. One's not going to completely reject you and make fun of you. That's not up to you. You just sow. It's not your responsibility to save someone else. You couldn't even do it if you tried. It's up to God to do that. You just have to sow the seed. And then other parts of the Bible, it tells us, you know, you can water and fertilize. You can pray for people and love people and help things along a bit in that sense, right? But ultimately, it's not up to you to save someone. You can't save your child as much as you would want to. You can't save your parent as much as you want to, who's not a believer, or your best friend or your coworker. You can't save them. That ties back into the whole, I'm trying to take your eyes off of yourself and put them on God. What you can do is you can sow the kingdom of God to them. You can share with them the word somehow. Give them a book. Send them a YouTube. Whatever it is. There's different methods of scattering the seed, right? You sow the seed of the word of it. Somehow you're just like getting them the word of God. You're even trying to live it out in front of them in such a way that they see, and it's very powerful. And you also pray for them, right? God works through our prayers. But you just sow it, and you leave the rest to God. Doesn't mean you know, don't love them. It doesn't mean you don't tend the plant, especially if you see that some response is coming, and then some fruit, and now they're responding, and then you put in the sickle, and then you harvest. You lead that person in the sinner's prayer, or you invite them to church, you know? You begin to encourage them in their newfound faith, right? So we put it like that sometimes, like, I led so-and-so to the Lord. But it's actually not you that led them to the Lord. It's the Lord that led them to the Lord, okay? Now, he used you in some scenarios. He's used me. Truth is, he probably used a bunch of people, right? Maybe their mom who was praying for them at home, their grandma who was praying for them. But you shared with them at work, and that was the catalyst, you know? And then somebody else encouraged them. That's what Paul says, like, I sowed, Apollo watered, but what? God gave the increase. Remember that verse? I sowed, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Same principle, my friends. Salvation is automatic. But if you just sow the seed, then it's gonna respond. Some people are going to respond. Some are not. And you can't coerce them into doing that. It's like, you know, when you go to, like, replace a light bulb, you know? And you take out the old, okay, this one's definitely bad. And there's, like, three light bulbs sitting on the shelf in your closet. And you're like, you start to get this bad feeling, like, wait a second. Are two of these, like, new ones, and then one was just the old one that I put there from before? And you can't remember, so what do you have to do, right? You have to take them, and you have to start screwing in those light bulbs. Oh, that one was also a bad one. I just had taken it out, and I forgot to throw it away, right? But you take the other one, oh, that one's a new one. It worked. Other one's also a new one. You screw in the light bulbs until one turns on. That's what you do. You share the word of God with somebody until somebody responds. And if they're not responding, that's fine. Move on. Share the word with somebody else. Don't get discouraged. Salvation is automatic. If you sow the seed and God has predestined them to salvation, they're going to respond at some point. Okay? Now, you also don't give up because the timing is also up to God. So sometimes you sow the seed and 10 years later, they respond, right? They pick up that tract you gave them or that Bible you gave them or whatever, and they read it, and then they get saved, right? God's working in his own timing. You've got to give him that. But take heart in sowing the seed this week. I want you to sow it in a few different ways this week. I want you to sow it verbally to someone, share the gospel with someone, sow it digitally, put something on Facebook, a scripture verse, or a link to a great message or teaching on Facebook. I want you to do something on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever you use. You can sow it digitally. See, those are platforms for information and for relationship. Many people criticize them, and a lot of those criticisms are just. But they also can be used for the kingdom of God, because it's all about relationships and influence. So when you post a scripture verse on your Facebook page or your Instagram page, you don't know actually what friends or family members or whoever is going to see that, even random strangers maybe. And now all of a sudden, you're sowing the seed of the word of God digitally. I want you to do that this week. I also want you to sow it with your actions. There is an irreplaceable part of evangelism that is the word, but there's a complement to that, which is actions. And when you do something that is out of the ordinary in a way of love, people look at that and they say, something's different about that guy. Something is different about that woman. She has a genuine faith. It's not just, I'm a Christian, I go to church, but there's something within her that tells me that she really believes what she says she believes. And so you sow through your actions. You create curiosity. And now all of a sudden what happens? People actually come to you with questions. They come to you with a prayer request because they know that you are genuine through your actions. So you can sow in all these different ways and you can take heart. And again, I would lift your eyes from yourself, from your circumstances, from your sins this morning, even the serious challenges that you are facing. And I don't downplay those challenges. But I would ask you to fix your eyes on God, the seed of the kingdom of God, and how amazing it is. It's automatic. But ultimately, it goes even beyond that to God himself, who loves you and who has purposes for your life. And he loves this whole world, and he has his purposes of love that he's fulfilling in the world. And I would have you put your eyes to him and have faith, not in yourself and in your abilities to, you know, change yourself or change your church or change your town or change your workplace, but put your eyes on God and God's ability to change you, to change your church, to change your town, to change your workplace. Amen? Well, you cannot, what with man is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that salvation is automatic, that there is a golden chain of your good work you've started that's going to continue. We can't mess it up. We can't. Try as we might. And we try hard sometimes, Lord, but we can't. Not on ourselves, and when it comes to other people, Lord, you yourself are at work. I remember hearing that story this last week of someone telling me that they knew someone who was led to Christ by a non-believer. They asked a non-believer how to get saved, and the non-believer could explain the gospel and did. And they got saved, even though it was a non-believer. If you can use them, you could use us. You can use anyone. You can use anything. So, Lord, may we sow the seed abundantly and freely this week, verbally, digitally, through our actions, through our prayers even, praying salvation over people. And then we see that fruit. Then it's time to put in the sickle. It's time to harvest. It's time to bring people in to the church. But harvesting doesn't happen if sowing doesn't happen. So may we be faithful to sow. And there's also watering. There's fertilizing. There's going to sleep and being patient and waking up the next day. And then the first little leaf has appeared. Then the ear of the corn begins to appear. Then the full head. Then it's ready to be harvested, Lord. May we harvest as we've sown, and may we also not give up on ourselves. May we not give up on others. May we not give up on ourselves. because this grace is from you, and it is an amazing grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.